Hello everyone. My name is Daniel Kipper. I work for Acool. I'm software developer and GRAP upstream maintainer. Today I would like to present GRAP project status update. Let's take a look at the agenda. At the beginning, I would like to introduce GRAP upstream maintainers. Then later we'll discuss what has been happening in the project for last 2 years and what is happening right now. And later we'll move to the main points for the project, and we'll be happy to reply for your questions. So nothing has changed since last year. There are still three GRAP maintainers. Two of them work for Oracle, Alexander and I. Vladimir work for Google, and he is the most experienced maintainer among us. We have two additional maintainers who look after the specific code in the GRAP. Alexander, the GRAP takes care of RISC-V code in the GRAP, and Leif Lilholm looks after ARM and EFI code. So what has been happening in the project for last 2 years? Alexander the Graf introduced initial RISC-V support to the GRAP, and also he added some initial Travis CI support. Colin Watson improved GNULIP integration in the GRAP. Currently, it is happening at the when we run the bootstrap script. Eric Snowberg from Oracle on Debian fork request introduced IEEE 1275 disk driver. Disk driver is currently used in on Spark platforms, but currently we are discussing also addition of this driver to the Power platforms. Jesus added some modules which allows us read Intel MSR registered on Intel x86 and AMD machines. Andre Przybyła added native DHCP v4 support. This code was based on Andrei Bozhenkov earlier developments. So currently GRAP is able to use BootP protocol and DHCP. John was looking at fixing layout output generation for Spark 64. The problem was that recent binutils packages dropped dropped support for layout output generation for Spark 64 platforms. So it means that we will not be able to build the GRAP for these machines. So John was looking for the solution for this issue, and he quite quickly realized that it is possible to generate a output manually. So he added some assembler code which put all the pieces together, and this way we still have support for Spark 64 machines. Michael Chang from SUSE fixed some issues which disallowed us usage of GCC 9 and GCC 10 compilers to compile the GRAP. Also recently we found some issues with using GCC 11 compiler. Currently we are working on fixing these issues. Patrick Steinhardt and Daniel Axton discovered also some issues when you use C-Lang 10 to build GRAP and proposed some fixes. So currently we are able to use almost the latest compilers to build the GRAP. Patrick Steinhardt introduced initial support for Lux 2, and there is still some development happening around this driver for these file systems. And we also use GRAP 2.04. These releases contain many fixes and cleanups, especially fixes for the boot hole bug. Last year, FreeNDAP and Oracle organized a GRAP Mini Summit. It was held in November. We discussed the mostly technical issues and current developments which are happening in the GRAP. We also discussed some licensing and legal issues, which are to some extent problematic to the project. So let's take a look at the boot hole issue. This was the major security issue which was reported last year. It was reported to us by Mickey and Jesse, both working for Eclipse. The issue was discovered in GRAP2 security parser. After the looking at this issue, we quite quickly realized that we have to do larger GRAP security review, and we have to cover the most important parts of the code in the GRAP. So we are starting looking at different pieces of code in the GRAP. We also started using the Coverity and other static analyzers to discover issues in the GRAP code. This work allowed us to find many integer overflows, some use after free issues, etc., etc., etc. We tried to fix all of them, and we succeeded to fix all known issues. During discussions about these issues among maintainers and various distros, we quite quickly realized that the issue will not be complete without fixing the shim and introducing some Linux kernel changes. It also required some discussions about revocation of shims and the signing process. We discussed this very long. It required a lot of discussion between different parties. And we hammered out at least three signing schemes, which allowed us to improve the situation of the signing and revocation. So this was very challenging. And I think that the part related to the shim and the signing was much more challenging than fixing bugs in the GRAP, because we have to find the solution which can be implemented by various distros which have a different limitation of resources, etc., etc. So we posted all GRAP fixes at the CRD date. There were 28 patches. Quite big number of fixes. As I remember correctly, we had seven CVEs. And to give you a hint how big undertaking it was, it is worth mentioning that around 100 people from 18 companies and organizations worked together to mitigate all the issues. So this was very, very challenging project. It took us four months to fix all the issues for the GRAP, for the shim, and Linux kernel. And also, it is worth mentioning that it was done under some time pressure. At the end of this slide, I'm listing some articles which are worth reading. At the beginning is our article prepared by Mickey and Jesse about the boot hole itself. It discussed UEFI Secure Boot and also the boot hole issue itself. The second link points to my email, which introduces all the fixes to the graph and also contains a list of leaks to the articles which were available at the CRD date. And the final link points to the blog post which I prepared with my colleagues from Oracle. It describes the boot hole work from mostly organizational point of view. It discusses how we dealt with communication, how we were looking at revocations, and also discuss some other issues. So I think that it is worth looking at this articles and take some things from them and see how this process looked like. So what's happening right now? Currently, we are